Court order of the Tuesday, July 10th, 2018, meeting of the Dairy Township Board Supervisors. Everyone please rise and join me in pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Joe, may I please have a roll call?
Member Rick Samuda?
Here.
Member Susan Quirk?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer?
Here. All those posters in the meeting room, I want to advise this person attending tonight's meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. I'd also like to announce that the Board Supervisors met in executive session to discuss land issues prior to tonight's meeting. At this time, I'd like to invite any public or visitor comments. If anyone wishes to address the Board Supervisors, please approach the podium. Please state your name and your address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Rich.
Hello. Back again. I'm going to continue bringing this up in relation to the amusement tax in relation to our community. I did a review. The last increase was 10 cents, I believe, in 2012. Hershey Park increased their ticket price by 13 cents. And based on the numbers that they say between 2 million and 3 million, that's $10,000 for every million tickets or people that come in our community. So they actually made on 3 million $30,000 to their benefit after giving us our 10 cents on a ticket. They gained. Next question I have is, do we have an ordinance here in this township for entertainment tax? Right now, most of the entertainment is all under HERCO. So what if a outside agency would come in and, you know, take a look at the escape house? Is that entertainment? Are we taxing them? Maybe this could be a revenue source. And again, looking throughout Pennsylvania, different areas like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they have entertainment. Their taxes, some of them are as high as 10%. That entertainment tax could offset some of the costs for the future recreation center. I think if we're going to be competitive, Pittsburgh has it, Philadelphia has it, even for when sports teams come into the Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, they have to give up a certain percentage of their salary for that day. Maybe we should look at that as far as the hockey teams too. That's a revenue source. So I'm really strongly pushing this to set up another meeting and see if they're willing to, you know, give back to the community a little bit more than just 85 cents on a $147 ticket. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Anyone else who would like to address the Board of Supervisors? Hearing none, we'll turn to new business. Jill, with the Employee Performance Awards. Do you want to proceed with that?
Yeah.
Department of Community Development, as you're all aware, one where everyone contributes their all to do what to get done what needs to get done. Most of our work is time sensitive and we never consistently meet those deadlines. So you can imagine it's not easy to single out us, one of our team members for such a recognition. Nevertheless, Darren Robinson deserves this special recognition. He came to us well seasoned with life experiences, having run his own contracting business for nearly 10 years. Excuse me. Later, he served as fire marshal for Swidera Township, Dauphin County, where his duties included being the EMA coordinator, fire chief for 5 volunteer fire companies. He enforced the PA Uniform Construction Code and the International Fire Code, and was chairman of the Township Safety Committee. In early 2011, Darren was employed by Londonderry Township as their building code official and zoning officer. His employment here began in late December of 2012 when I stole him from Londonderry Township. He's one of our plan examiners and building code inspectors. At that time, he had four UCC certifications, which are necessary to do the work that we do in plan review and inspections, which allowed him to do just some residential plan reviews and field inspections. Over the last few years, he has studied, tested, and obtained 12 additional certifications, actually having all the certifications necessary for our department. Certifications include commercial plumbing, mechanical energy, and accessibility. His knowledge, experience, demeanor, and work ethic has allowed him to build positive and productive relationships with coworkers and business clientele, and to handle multiple personalities, which we do have, in varied situations with effective outcomes. We're happy to have Darren as part of our work family.
Thank you, Darren. Our next performance award goes to Keith Hocker.
Members of the board, it's a pleasure to announce that Detective Keith Hocker has been nominated by his peers for this year's Employee Performance Award representing the Police Department. Detective Hocker has been with our department for over 25 years, and although some employees at 25 years have a propensity to maybe slow down, Detective Hocker has remained thoroughly committed to the mission and values of our agency, and totally dedicated to our community and the community of Dauphin County at large. A large part of his commitment has been with the Dauphin County Drug Task Force during his career. The work he does there has tremendous direct and indirect impacts on our community's quality of life. Narcotics work is physically and emotionally demanding, requires many hours, both on duty and off duty. And nonetheless, Detective Hocker's commitment has never failed each day he shows up for work. Detective Hocker's peers recognize his commitment, his expertise, his leadership, and his dependability, and thus have nominated him for this recognition in 2018.
Our next award goes to Mika Nicholson. Matt?
Mr. Chairman, I'm proud to introduce and recognize Mike for this award. Mike has been with the Department of Parks and Recreation since early 2017. In her short tenure, she's impressed both her peers and supervisors with her attention to detail, her pleasant personality, and her ability to quickly learn and retain the large amounts of information that's required by our front desk personnel. She's also assisted the department in multiple roles in many capacities. Mika requires little direction and has set a high bar in terms of customer service performance. She's trustworthy, dependable, and always willing to lend a helping hand. Mika is well deserving of the Employee Performance Award and is a tremendous asset both to the Department of Parks and Recreation and the Township as a whole.
Next is Steve Vertenzio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve has been with the library since January 2016, and he has become such an integral part of our daily work that we can't imagine the library without him. Steve regularly goes above and beyond the call of duty to come in on weekends and set up for programs, arrive early if needed, and stay late when needed. Steve admitted to me the other day that until he took this job, he hadn't been in the library since college. And even then, it was only once. But you never know it by the way Steve happily shifts books around, builds and dismantles shelving, and even sets up for story time. When it came time to nominate a recipient for this award, it was a rousing, unanimous vote that Steve deserved this recognition. Thank you, Steve, for your daily efforts to make the library a better place to work and to visit.
Congratulations.
Dr. Feinfeld.
Josh came to us 4 years ago from the Lebanon County General Authority where he was a mechanic. He is the first individual in the Equipment Services Division of our department to have a degree in what he does. He holds a degree from Texas State Technical College in Waco, Texas, in heavy equipment and diesel technology. And it did not take long when Josh arrived with us to realize the asset that we had. And he's done wonders for our fleet and keeps things moving. I can't express enough the addition of him, what the addition of Josh has done to our department in the equipment services section. And having been in Waco, Texas, he really makes a kick in barbecue, too.
Congratulations.
Steve, are you still out there?
Come back. would you go get him?
I think he's coming back. Okay. There he is.
I was just going to suggest it'd be nice to get a group photo of everybody instead of having, I mean, everyone can have their own individual ones, but for the paper, it might be nice to have one of everybody who's getting the award. So.
Steve, grab a group photo then after this group. Here. And Cole Flanners from the fire department.
Steve was from the library. Actually, Steve, when I was in college, I told my parents I was always in the library, and my father found out it was a local bar, so that was the name of it. Mr. Chairman, Board of Supervisors, the fire department appreciates being a part of this ceremony. I should probably take note of everybody else who writes everything down. I'm going to just shoot from the hip, if that's okay. The Hershey Volunteer Fire Company chooses their Member of the Year, Employee of the Year, Firefighter of the Year, whatever you may call it. We choose it by a vote of our peers. And in the room tonight are a couple other people here to support Colton that were also nominated. We had five people nominated, and it comes down to a vote. This young man has already been 10 years of service to the public. He started when he was 14 years old, just turned 24. He gets it. He understands it, what public service is all about. And he's had a very tough time being the chief's son. He heard it at the firehouse. He heard it on the way from the firehouse to the firehouse and at the house. So he stayed steady on being the chief's son. It's like being the coach's son, you know. But this young man has taken his knowledge and his talents and has received national certification to become the captain of the fire department. You just don't get there because you're the chief's son. We have standards that you have to meet, and he has done that over the years. And it's been a privilege, not only as the chief of the department, but as his father, to watch him do that. He's been watching fire engines since he was about knee-high on grasshopper, to be honest. In addition to what he does at the fire department, he also coaches third and fourth grade basketball for the Hershey Basketball Youth Association. So while I'm proud to stand here as the chief of the department, I'm even more proud that he has served the community and continues to serve the community, and I'm proud that he's my son. And I would be proud for any of those young men if they were standing in Colton's position also. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chief Hunter, come on. Get all the awards recipients to come up for a group photo and in front of the logo here, that would be great. And I will get out of the way. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm not kneeling.
This rate is based on the ITE parking generation manual, which the zoning ordinance does allow the applicant to determine their own parking when it's a different use than what would normally be encountered. The other calculation for parking on this project is one space per swimmer during competitions, with up to 500 swimmers anticipated for special events. So that the parking demand for the site totals 876 spaces. The plan shows that there'll be 383 parking spaces on property with an additional 506 spaces to be provided off-site on the school district's property. Staff notes that off-site parking is permitted, however, a special exception would be needed, would need to be granted by the Zoning Hearing Board to permit the off-site parking. The site plan indicates that 12 parking spaces on the library site that will be built will bring the library within 11 spaces of what should be there. When the library was originally planned, there was some additional parking that was scheduled to be constructed to the south of the library. That parking was never constructed, albeit 20 years ago. In doing our calculations for this project, we found that there is a deficiency at the library based on square footage. However, I also understand that the library is looking at expanding some parking within their property, which coincidentally includes about 11 parking spaces as angled spaces in front of the front of the building, which should take care of that nonconformity with the zoning. There's three stormwater management facilities proposed on the plan, one on the school district property in the area of the drive extension. There's one to the east of the outdoor swimming pool, and one is proposed where two tennis courts will be removed to make space for it to the north of the property. Now, it's my understanding that that tennis court actually does get some use, and that there will probably be a modification to that stormwater basin as part of what would come through here as a final plan. Because of the size of this project, they will need to meet both runoff rates and water quality measures and provide an NPDES plan. So far as comments related to the development of the sketch plan moving forward into the final plan, we offer the following, that any steep slope areas naturally that exist naturally on the property in excess of 20% should be shown. We'll need to provide a flood study to document that the new stream crossings will cause a zero rise in the flood waters. They need to provide impervious and vegetative cover calculations for both the school district property and for the library property. They need to clarify which off-premises parking spaces are reserved to account for the 500 spaces required to meet the parking projections. We'd like some justification to substantiate that 500 spaces are needed at one per swimmer. As I said, for the parking for the center itself, that came out of the ITE manual for parking calculations. We'd like some reference as to how they came up with that parking number. They need to verify that the loading and unloading spaces on the property meet the demands of the property and provide site lighting levels at the minimum township standards. They need to provide the name and contact information for the Dairy Township School District and for the purposes of plan signatures, since improvements are proposed on the property as well. They need to provide all adjacent zoning district and overlays to the property, provide all restrictions on the use of the land, including easements, right-of-ways, and covenants, provide lighting levels in accordance with the ordinance requirements. Then, generally speaking, we have a hearing this evening at 6 o'clock that was related to Ordinance 705, which will allow for buildings up to 50 foot high. That information, as they move forward, assuming that it's adopted tonight, needs reflected on the plan. We'd like to clarify the use of the access drive to the school district property. It appears as though it's going to be gated drive in one area here, and we'd like to have some information about how that how that functions. The school district will need to be party to, or there will need to be an agreement related to, the stormwater facility that's proposed on their property as we move into the O&M agreement for the stormwater facilities. They need to finish off the floodplain limits on the plan, which really by the FEMA mapping connects these two lines. They need to provide existing conditions within 200 feet of all of the developed tracts, which includes the school district property, or request a waiver. I think that we would all be willing to grant that relief. So as a sketch plan, there's no formal action that's required by the board this evening. I'm sure the applicants would appreciate any comments from the board or from the public related to this project.
Any questions from the members of the board? Matt?
Are we going to be required to plant trees for every 50 parking places?
Yes. And then you'll need to also meet they will need to meet the interior green space, which it looks like there's quite a bit of green proposed.
Chuck, can you or Greg elaborate a little bit about the two tennis courts and what the likelihood of retaining them will be?
Actually, I'm going to let Craig answer that. Craig Smith with RGS. So you're speaking of where the stormwater management area is. So we did meet on site and discuss that area, which my understanding is more of a basketball court.
It's a multi-purpose facility. It has two full-size tennis courts, two downsized basketball courts, and also two pickleball courts. So it's actually three uses. And as you know, as we led into the sketch plan process, we originally kind of targeted that area for stormwater, but kind of quickly realized that the benefit that those courts have to the community and the high use that it gets, we asked RGS and our team to kind of get creative and look at some other areas for stormwater on site.
So what we're currently doing is we're going through calculations specific to stormwater management. That's an ideal site because of where it is located on the site for stormwater management. We will look at other locations or potentially shifting the basketball court to another location to accommodate the request. So it's going to be a technical issue where we can accommodate stormwater and where we can accommodate the basketball courts.
So
you
think you have to keep the stormwater there, we'll do our best to retain
that's a possibility,
course,
yeah.
Yeah, Greg and I were going to do that. I haven't had a chance to do it.
You mean the surface?
Yeah, surface. Because it does get flooded.
Yeah. It does. It's underwater occasionally.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Are there going to be curb cuts and vegetative swales in the parking lot in the center?
At this point, no. We're trying to retain as much as possible that's currently in the parking.
Is all that current right now?
That is. Yeah, correct. On the right hand side, that's all existing to remain as is.
Yeah, this great. What is the refresh memory? Do you tell what was the most recent plan to do to that?
What is the most recent treatment to do to the? It was going to be resurfaced, but are we at a point where we're going to steel cut it, or what is the?
Yes, for the parking lots themselves. Great pieces. Thank you. For the parking lots, we had originally consider doing a full mill and overlay. Part of the reconciliation that we've been doing, we are sealing those and restriping all of them. To answer your question, Matt, the curbs, I would say 80 to 90% of the curbs are all existing to remain. There is a little bit of modification to some of those islands to provide for better circulation of some of the bigger delivery vehicles that we're planning for as part of the project.
So most of the trees will stay too?
Most of the trees are planned to stay, yeah. We're going to disturb as few of those as possible. That's the plan.
Any other questions? Comments?
No.
All right. I'll Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Can I make one more point of clarification? And we will absolutely work with township staff, but as it relates to the off-site parking and the special exception, there is a provision in the ordinance that addresses and allows for actually event.
Special events.
Special right. events, and we can work through that. You know.
We can talk about that. This center is special events, as it's mentioned in the ordinance, I believe, is for auto show and things that aren't normally there. This center is built for this amount of parking. I mean, it's built to host these events. So I'm not sure that special events, but we can talk.
We can talk about that. So just the point would be for everyday daily use, the parking requirements on site is actually met for the periodic larger swim meet events. That's when we would utilize the 506 parking spaces on site. How that happens, we can absolutely work with Chuck.
So it's either a special exception, but that special event is actually within permitted as part of a permit.
So as a special event, parking for a special event, for each special event that would come in, they would need to tell me, as the zoning officer, how many people they anticipate having there, and I would have to authorize that event.
Each time.
If we can avoid that.
that would be selfish for
Chuck, what would constitute a special event? Considering this is
well, as I said, you know, like at our baseball fields in town, occasionally we'll have, or soccer fields, you know, occasionally we'll have like once or twice a year an event that draws a bunch of people. That's more of a special event. I think this center is built more for a repeated, less occasional, more scheduled full house.
So you don't anticipate any, quote, special events?
There may be. But I think this center is being built to house a full house as often as we can.
And those people would then park on the streets there on Cocoa Avenue and around the...
There's nothing to stop them from doing.
Right.
So we just want to make sure that the parking is... And, you know, quite frankly, the 500 spaces may not be needed. I don't know where that number came from. So yeah, we have some work to do in the parking. We'll come out with the best.
We'll sort that out. Just
what's that?
We'll sort it out.
Yeah.
And we get along with Chuck.
For bringing that. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next item on the agenda is the preliminary final subdivision plan for 19 East Chocolate Avenue, the south lot, plot number 1299. Chuck.
Thank you. This plan intends to combine properties which are encompassed by East Chocolate Avenue, Homestead Road, East Caracas Avenue, and Ceylon Avenue. It's really known as the South Lot, as we know it. There's 11 tax parcels on the property today. Over the years, the Hershey Company has acquired the final few homes that existed there in private ownership, and are now just trying to consolidate the property, it appears. They're not proposing any specific improvements as part of this plan, just a combination of the properties. They're seeking to tear down, and we may have even issued the demolition permits at this point, they're seeking to tear down four of the dwelling units and retain one of the garages as a maintenance area. Also, earlier this evening, we did a hearing for alley vacation of South First Street and S Street, which again would allow them to have a contiguous parcel. They've requested some waivers and deferments of the regulations. They've asked to not have to show the meets and bounds for street center lines. We support that waiver. They've asked not to show stormwater sanitary and utility profiles, and we support those waivers. They've asked not to be required to put monuments and markers on two of the points on the property, the easternmost side. We do support that waiver. They've asked for relief from providing road widening on Ceylon, East Caracas, and Homestead Road. And we do support those waivers, provided that they enter into our standard agreement that would allow us to require them in the future if deemed necessary. They've asked for relief from providing sidewalks, walkways, and bicycle paths on Homestead Road, which Homestead Road, if you can picture it, it has the large power lines. It's not truly pedestrian friendly, but it's not really grade friendly to pedestrians either. So they've asked for a deferment for that. which I am suggesting that we grant as well, because I think as time goes on, that this intersection of Homestead and Chocolate Avenue may go through metamorphosis that will allow us to do pedestrian paths there a little bit more cohesively with the rest of the town. We are recommending approval of this plan. It's been reviewed by the Planning Commission. They're also recommending approval with the following conditions: that by August 10th of 2018, the applicant reimburses the township for any costs incurred in reviewing the plan. That the following items happen by January 10th, 2019, that monuments and markers are installed and inspected, or that a financial guarantee for their installation is provided. That the name, address, telephone number, and seal of the registered surveyor certifying the accuracy of the plans is provided, that the plans are signed and sealed, that the revised shared access and parking agreement is provided, that accommodation deed combining all the properties together is provided, that two originals of the signed and notarized agreement for deferment of the curb sidewalks widening is provided, that they provide us with this standard digital file. And then finally, that the following happened concurrently with recording of the plan, that the agreements for deferment are also recorded, and that the deed of dedication for additional right-of-way along Homestead Road is recorded.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions or comments for Chuck at this time?
Yeah, Chuck. What? It's funny how this town changes. I was just telling Matt a while ago, I used to date a girl who lived in that second house there.
You might be able to get a handrail or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone Italian or something. Anyway. What are the future plans for the property? Any? Or is it just going to be leveled except for the one property?
I think Tim Lay from the Hirsch Company may be better able to answer.
Yeah, first and foremost, thanks for hearing this business tonight, Board of Supervisors. My name is Tim Lay. I'm Director of Global Real Estate and Sourcing for the Hirsch Company. One of the plans we have for this is, I know the fire department has reached out to us here. We're going to offer up some of these buildings for training initially, and working with the fire company in terms of search and rescue and being able to put up fires for rooftops and being able to allow them to use that. So we're actually working with them very closely to do that property. So that's first and foremost with our community development. And then secondly, what we want to do is actually turn this into green space. Actually look at planting some trees and planting in a community garden and trying to beautify the area as well. Those would be plans that are more long-term than short-term at the moment, because right now we're looking at working with the fire department to utilize these properties, and we have to get through some demo permits and some demolition that we need to have at the site. So those are short-term and long-term plans as well.
The property on the eastern side, it's up on a little hill. They're raised properties. Are they all going to be, is it going to be leveled to ground level, to the parking lot level, or are they going to stay with the hillocks there?
So right now we're actually looking at that as an overall design of what that final looks like. We're uncertain at this point in time. We are actually looking at design proposals to flatten that out or keep the raised hills in place. We also have to put through our demolition competitive bids too. We haven't actually put those out on the street yet because of the use with the fire company at the moment. So it's really too early to tell.
I'm a little concerned with the hills there, because if you've got, which is, the green space is a great idea, I love it. But you got to be careful of runoff too. So I guess if you level it out, it would be less chance of a runoff. And hit. Keep the hills, you're going to have to plant some kind of creeper or something. That's your business, not mine.
So,
go ahead.
I just have a quick question, and this is either for Tim or maybe Chuck, but what kind of notifications have been issued to the homes across the street so that they're aware of what's going to be happening, and in particular, aside from the homes being taken down, the fire department using them? I'm just thinking about the neighbors across the street thinking that the entire block's on fire. Are there letters that have been sent to the neighbors within a certain range?
So I guess that's a little too early to tell, too. We're still working out the entire process, but Susan, to answer your question, that will certainly be done. We're going through liability documents right now,
sure,
as well as insurance documents right now, just making sure that, you know, that we're all on the same page when it comes to those types of practice exercises at the site, but we'll make sure we address those.
Even aside from the practice exercises, even if that wasn't happening, I think just as a courtesy, you can't go too far in extending that word to people that not only live across the street, but are kind of in that vicinity, just so that they're aware of what's going on.
Okay, we'll make sure.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Tim, when you talk about green space, you're just talking about where the houses were. Is there an intention to remove any of the asphalt, or is it just sort of where the houses are? You're thinking about green space.
Yeah, just where the houses are.
Okay, just. Is it? You know, it's. I don't know if there's any arrangement. I don't think there's any arrangement, but we know that people use that parking lot, right? I mean, there seems to be some overflow from Granada. So, is anything going to be changing with that, or is there? I'm just kind of curious. Is there any talks with them? Anything happening there?
No, actually, as we continue to migrate down to our downtown campus,
yeah,
that parking that you're speaking about right now, Justin, will be fully utilized by the Hershey Company.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. So that'll have to change a little bit. So head of the school district is looking for creative options. So we definitely have a parking issue there in that Granada Avenue area. And, I'll just throw it out there. It's something I think that we've often talked about, some type of parking study or looking at parking a little bit more closely, taking an inventory of parking sort of in that area. It's interesting to note that the parking lot that we just installed next to the fire department doesn't get hardly any use during the day. So there's a lot of empty spaces there. So I wonder if there's some type of way we could creatively look at the inventory in that area, because once I get the sense that people are parking there, again, without permission, but there's a lot of parking that's occurring in that lot, so that would go away. So, and understandably so. The other comment is on Homestead. So you're suggesting a deferral of the sidewalk on Homestead.
Yes.
Okay, so the only thing I note there is that so we're going to be installing a crosswalk, a mid-block crosswalk at Para, right? And probably in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that the curb, so on the east side, it may not be part of the scope of this project, but by not having sidewalks on the west side, are you following me? It forces pedestrian, bicycle, small bicycle, kid bicycle traffic to the east side where there are sidewalks. The only problem is, I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, but the curbs are very high there. They're not handicapped accessible. So the curbs are high, which I've noticed I've been there with kids on a bicycle before, and I'm just wondering if there's any, is there any merit to having handicapped accessible curbs put in there?
Like a temporary fix until we figure out the bigger.
Well, in other words, this lot, I guess this lot could be like this long term, right? If it's going to be used for parking or. So I wonder if there's any merit to requesting. I don't know if we need to do that as part of this plan, but requesting it. There. That section of sidewalk has very high curves and it's not. So, just something that.
So you're suggesting a cutout, perhaps, or a handicap accessible?
Well, on the right.
Right there?
That's very true.
Yeah.
Thank you. Similar to what Tom Clark's been doing all over town, you know?
Yeah.
So, handicap accessible. So that the kid's riding a bike, he or she can go use that ramp or
wheelchair and navigate that. Yeah. How difficult would that be to cut out?
And is that part of the scope of this project? I don't know if you're even. Tim, what are your thoughts?
So it certainly can be considered.
Okay.
Right? And yeah. Certainly it's not part of the scope currently, but yeah. I certainly see the point of view that can be really beneficial. So something that we should take under consideration for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's certainly, especially if you keep going right there, that bank there, I think it would be difficult to...
Right, right, but just why...
Why you're operating...
Supporting both.
Right, right.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that big power pole, too.
Right.
There's a lot of that's in the way, which would require a lot of coordination with utilities as well,
yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
We need to really...
Exactly. And so, and it also lends up, you know, there's, I know you've been part of some meetings and Ken Gall talking about sort of that corridor over to the outlets.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sort of connections being contemplated in that area. Something, these ramps might be helpful.
Yeah.
I actually spoke late winter or very early spring with someone. It was a maintenance person. Or a facilities person in 19 weeks. One of the employees approached me about putting ramps in there, and I informed him that that's the joint property owner's responsibility. So it managed to, the message managed to make it. I can't think of the gentleman's name. I can't think of his name. I had an email somewhere. But somewhere internally, I think that's because the two of them were meeting.
And they were thinking that it was sort of a township responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a township responsibility or it's private?
It's a township responsibility if we're reconstructing the road.
I see.
Or doing anything, any type of a treatment like a microsurface or a resurfacing, anything over an inch and a half,
yeah.
Something of that nature. Then it's our responsibility.
But currently it's not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so speaking from a director of real estate perspective for the Hershey Company, totally support that. So I'm not sure you were speaking with, but the director of real estate would certainly make that decision on behalf of the company and, you know, support Justin's request here for those improvements. So we'll certainly take a look.
Okay.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted. Any other questions or comments for Tim?
Yeah, I actually have one more question. Justin, that was very good. I didn't think about that. That's perfect. One question, the building that you're going to keep, the cinder block building, what are you planning on storing in there? The garden supplies?
Yeah, actually, we'll need that to actually maintain that community garden that's there and the green.
So you're going to have
mowers
there?
Yeah, mowers.
Okay, so it's going to be secured too?
Yeah. Yes.
Better than it is now?
I would hope so.
Okay.
All right, anything else?
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. All right. I'll move that the preliminary final subdivision plan for 19 East Chopin Avenue South Lot, plat 1299, be approved, subject to compliance with items A through J, as discussed by Chuck under the department head recommendation section of this agenda item, and also that the requested waivers of and deferments from the subdivision and land development ordinance be granted as noted under the explanation section of this agenda item. I'll entertain a second.
I'll second that.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that item is approved unanimously. Next item on the agenda is consideration of adoption of Ordinance 707 to vacate South First Street and F Street as requested by the Hershey Company, which was the subject of the public hearing earlier this evening. Chuck.
So as you said, it was the subject of public hearing earlier. Staff and county are recommending or supportive of the vacation of these alleys. Although there'll be no direct cost benefit, we will see savings in maintenance and so on from over them being public alleys. It will also allow the Hershey Company to enjoy their property as a consolidated tract.
Any additional questions or comments or Chuck on this agenda item? Hearing none, I'll move that ordinance number 707 be adopted and the township manager be authorized to execute the necessary documents to accomplish the transfer of the alleys to the Hershey Company. Entertain a second.
Second
by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and ordinance number 707 is adopted unanimously. Next item on the agenda is the 1-22 consideration of adoption of ordinance 705, which would amend chapter 225 zoning of the Code of the Township of Cary to make general revisions, corrections, and clarifications, again subject to an earlier public hearing earlier this evening. Chuck. Chuck?
Here again, we're recommending that this ordinance be adopted. It's generally adjusting the height and impervious cover for properties within their Hershey mixed-use zoning district, and also adjusting some of our sign regulations.
I'll entertain a motion to adopt ordinance number 705, amending chapter 225 zoning of Derry Township Code to make general revisions, corrections, and clarifications.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and adoption of 705 is made unanimously. Item E 1-4, DTMA request for property tax forgiveness for two Walton Spring Hill parcels. Chuck.
Thank you. So as you can see on the screen, the location of these two parcels, both of these parcels contain stormwater management basins that are not very well cared for. They were never finally completed to the township satisfaction, but they were slated to be taken over by the township. Now with having the Stormwater Authority, is willing to take over and improve these two basins. In doing so, or coincidentally, this property was going up for tax sale because the owner got tired of paying taxes on the basins that weren't really being maintained. ETMA, along with being willing to take over the property, is a little uncomfortable with paying the back taxes on the property. So they petitioned the school district, the county, and us for forgiveness of the taxes to obtain the property. I believe that Mike Callahan had said that the school district had voted favorably for this. We're looking at about a total of $432.23 of tax forgiveness. So this will have a minor budget impact, but quite frankly, had the property originally been dedicated to the township as was slated, we'd be receiving no tax revenues on these properties anyway.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll move that the board supervisors authorize the township manager to execute the tax strike-off letter for tax map parcels 24-083-077 and 24-083-130 on behalf of Derry Township. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is consideration of a memorandum of understanding with the Derry Township Municipal Authority relating to the U.S. 422 Streetscape Improvement Project. Laura?
Uh-oh. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of our Streetscape Project, DTMA has requested that the township enter into a memorandum of understanding with the authority basically to outline responsibilities relating to our improvements and DTMA's facilities. The MOU outlines that the township will adjust manholes as necessary with the project, which is pretty standard, and that any new curbs we're installing don't directly conflict with DTMA's sewer line. Going forward then, if there are necessary sewer improvements that are going to be impacting either the signal poles and or the bus stop, the township will be responsible for adjusting, relocating, dismantling, rebuilding those facilities. DTMA would then be responsible for repairing and replacing any crosswalks, sidewalks, curbs, ADA curb ramps, and detectable warning surfaces if they're impacted by their system. In talking with Eric, it doesn't sound like any of our proposed signal poles or facilities that we would be responsible with are directly in proximity to DTMA's lines that we're aware of. So, do you want to say anything else about that, Eric?
Yeah, they have that in there, I believe, as a catch-all. I'd like to hear John's thoughts on the matter, but my thought is that I'd like to take the signal pole reference out. I don't know that the township should be responsible to replace their signal pole if they need to repair their sewer line. I think the bus shelter, it seems like a reasonable request to put that responsibility on the township to move that out of their way while they work on it and then reinstall it when they're completed.
It's been moved a couple times before.
Yeah. I think the signal equipment was just for any conduits that are crossing the junction boxes. I think the intent there was more so for the wiring, and they just threw the signal poles in there as, like I said, more of a catch-all, but maybe I'm maybe worth another discussion with DTMA to look to get that language modified.
But you're saying you don't think it's really relevant anyway?
We don't have any signal poles that are proposed directly over top of the sewer.
So what are your thoughts on removing that language?
Well, it seems like there's no point that, in other words, they should be willing to remove it if they don't have anything in the city.
Correct, that's my thought.
Why not just take it out?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of removing it too, if we can. So the motion I suggest would be the memorandum of understanding with the exclusion of the signal pole reference. If that's in agreement with the rest of the member of the board. Okay, so I'll make a motion to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Erie Township Municipal Authority relating to the U.S. 422 Streetscape Improvement Project as memorialized in this agenda item with the removal of the signal pole reference. All those in favor say aye. Or excuse me, second. Mr. Zamuda seconds it, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion as phrased carries unanimously. Thank you. Item G1 through 4, consideration of a reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision land development and stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Town Square plat number 1275. Chuck.
It's housekeeping items.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Ware. All those in favor?
Awesome.
Aye. Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. H1 through 3, authorization for a civic banner to be located in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center building along Route 422, as well as the east entrance of the 19 East Trafford Avenue office building. Chuck.
So this is a banner that needs approved by the Board of Supervisors. This has been a reoccurring banner, although they moved it a little bit over the last few years. If it remains in the same place this year, next year we'll make this a permanent approval, so long as we don't move it. But they're looking at putting this banner on the railing on the east side of 19 East and out in the grass area by the Reese plant. The banner's memorializing the 15th annual Hershey Miracle 5K race, and it will be put up not more than 30 days prior to the race and removed within 2 days after the race. I'm recommending authorization for the civic banner.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? If not, I'll move that the 15th annual Hershey Miracle 5K race banner be authorized to be placed in the grass area adjacent to the Hershey Company Technical Center building along Route 422, as well as the east entrance of the 19 East Chocolate Avenue office building. I'll entertain a second to that motion.
Second
by Mr. Engel. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is correspondence of board committee information. Mr. Zamuda, anything?
No.
It's weird. Lauren, do we have an event this weekend downtown?
Music on chocolate, and of course our market.
Okay.
Music is from 7 to 10 in the evening. New food vendor coming this weekend, Lucky Penny Burger Company. I've heard people say that they are the best burgers they have ever had in their entire life.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay.
And I understand the weather's supposed to be spectacular. So
it's like it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Justin?
Nothing.
Very well. Anything? Tim, from the fire department?
Nothing to report.
Dave, from the fire department?
Just a couple things. For the month of June, we had 56 calls. For the 6 month total, that takes us to 372. As was talked about earlier, we'll be acquiring those structures to work in the training over the next coming weeks. We're looking forward to that. Ronnie Sondman, currently he is in Colorado serving with the task force as a logistics officer for the Colorado Mountain Fires. And I just want to thank you all for your continued support.
Thank you. Tom?
I would just pass along to you as we start paving here, and more specifically, we've been in Oakmont the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And it may seem as though some of these projects are going slow. If you hear something from the public that we moved into the neighborhood or subdivision, that's taken us a while to get done, or it seems to be dragging along. We're having an extremely difficult time getting asphalt this season. The reason for that is there's two asphalt plants on the east shore, Hemp's, which is doing nothing but supplying the 283 job, and Pensy Supply. So everybody that used to go to Hems now has to go to Pensy. So we couldn't get anything out of Pensy this week because they're all putting out big jobs. So that's forcing us to go to Camp Hill to get asphalt. And when I say Camp Hill, I mean next to Camp Hill Correctional Institute. So it's quite a hike. Some days it's that full that we can't get in. So if you hear something, I know I've talked to a couple of people in Oakmont, you know, you've been up here working, why is it taking so long? That's why.
Okay. Nice to see the crews every morning, though. Yeah. Very friendly.
Any entrepreneurs that would like to build an asphalt plant in the East Shore, I'd be more happy to take that.
Yep, I just want to give you an update on our summer reading. We have 762 kids enrolled, and so far they've read over 223,000 minutes.
Wow.
They're doing very well. Yep, thank you.
Sure. Nothing this evening, thank you.
Nothing. Thank you.
Just wanted to note that the notice to proceed was issued to the contractor, to Rogel, for the 422 streetscape project and 322 project that was issued last week. I'd expect construction along 422 to begin out near Power Avenue and Mansion Avenue within the next couple of weeks, and work on the balance of the projects probably late August or early September that they'll be starting.
Any idea what completion date of that would be?
Completion is supposed to be substantially complete by the end, sometime around the end of May, and then final completion by the end of June.
As I alluded to earlier, we're working on PMB regulations. They've been through the Planning Commission. I would like to set a hearing date for August 28th. I realize that's a ways away, but that seems to be when we'll be able to fit it into schedules. So if nobody has any objection to that, we'll go ahead and schedule that.
Please do.
Also, just to make you aware, Mainline is the contractor for the Downtown Hershey project, and they're putting in sidewalk along Linden coming out towards Chocolate Avenue. Rogel is our contractor for the streetscape project that's going to be doing the curb ramps. I understand that the grades are about a foot different between what Mainline is doing and what Rogel will be doing. So right now we have two contractors talking. I was talking to HRG today, and there will be a site meeting Thursday at 1:30 to see if we can't get ahead on the streetscape with Rogel, or if Hershey Downtown Project may be willing to allow Mainline to do that curb ramp so that everything is proper when they go to open up the first shops there.
So there'll be a foot difference where?
As I understand, and I haven't seen any plans, but the sidewalk coming south from the parking garage heading towards Chocolate,
right.
As it comes to the ramp that's there today, there'll be a foot difference because I guess that ramp's going to be lowered in our streetscape project.
Okay.
So they're working to the future grades, but that project hasn't started yet. So we're just trying to get the two of them together to make sure we don't have a step in a sidewalk right before a ramp.
Yeah, and there are big discrepancy between the sidewalk in front of the project and the streetscape, you know.
Not that I've heard.
Okay.
Not that I've heard.
You know, that space between the sidewalk for the project and the street, because it's two different projects, I feel like it's one area of this project that's just a little loose still, and including accounting for trees. We don't have trees designated yet that will go in that street or that will go in that strip. So it's something we need to be thinking about. And Matt, maybe you and your group can be thinking about what type of tree makes the most sense there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously the developers want to see something that covers up the whole front, but at the same time, there's a lot of other options up here or something. But
yeah, but that elevation difference, you know, if we can get in front of that,
that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're the best in interest as well.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they called us today, and they're looking pouring yet this week, but.
We need to make sure it's done right.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, okay. Thank you, Chuck. Mark, anything?
Just one note on that regarding the trees. You know, that's something that we can discuss with the Downtown Hershey Association as well, in terms of whether or not there could be a potential role for that organization. Just one note that, and forgive me if this was already mentioned, but a group of us got together to start to talk about bike and pedestrian issues in the township, and there will be a meeting next Tuesday, the 17th, at 6 o'clock here. That'll be open to the public to start to talk about impact improvements and awareness.
Tuesday at 6.
The 17th.
All right. Jill?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you. I'll make a motion that we approve accounts payable in the amount of $212,380.64 and payroll in the amount of $384,006.38. I'll have a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those accounts are payable are approved unanimously. If anybody in the audience wishes to avail themselves of the second visitor in public comment period, Rich, you're the only one.
Well, in relation to the discussion, just your information, I think you are a good thing, Chuck.
But you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
No. I don't want to let you guys
come up for it on your job.
With the discussion about the ramps there on Homestead Road.
Yeah.
Since you said that was going to be an employee parking lot, correct? Well, under the Act 508, they're required to make all access handicap accessible. So those curbs we have to put in there.
I think the point he was making is that it's not technically part of the project that they're doing.
Right. They're not making any money.
But it sounds like.
But it's something that needs to be done if they're going to be utilizing it. The way I understood it, it's going to be employees, so that means they have to upgrade it to meet the 508 Act.
But Tim has indicated that he's going to be taking a hard look at that. So,
So if it wasn't done, it needs to be done. That's what we're doing. We're running around town doing it now. So they're not exempt from that.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. And everyone moves. And that's voted on and approved unanimously.